Let's turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And I want to read the Christmas story as it's found in the first 20 verses to set the stage for our thinking about waiting and the opportunity for us as we wait. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. What do you look for in this season of Advent? What do you look forward to in this season of Christmas? Spending time with people that you love and care about, rekindling relationships with family and in gatherings such as the gathering that Sandra and I attended last night. The music and the decorations of this festive season. Or maybe a couple of well-deserved weeks off of school. And you're just a short ways away from that. And you're just waiting for that. The Christmas program at school, or to next Sunday night here at church, or the special services that we have. You can look at your worship bulletin this morning, and it speaks of the candlelight service, which is one of the most glorious and meaningful times of worship that we have here in a couple of weeks. Or is it the excitement of receiving gifts, or the joy of giving gifts? What is it that you look forward to most about this Christmas? This is quite a season, isn't it? There's a lot of joy and anticipation in this season. I know as well that for some this can be a very difficult time, and we understand that. But here's my question this morning for all of us, and that is simply this: among your many hopes for this Christmas season, is there also a hope or a longing or a yearning or a desire to grow spiritually? Is there a desire for a deeper understanding of God's love, a deeper awareness of the miracle of the incarnation. You know what the incarnation is? The fact that God Himself became human and took on our flesh, something that is deeply mysterious to us. Or is it a greater relationship with God, or a greater experience of God's presence in your life in this season? Among the many things that you hope for, among the many things that you desire and anticipate, is there also a desire to grow spiritually? Is this too what you hope for? Is this too what you will make time for in the busyness of this season? So Duane had it right when he talked about Advent as a season of waiting. Historically, Advent is a season of anticipation, of waiting, of reflection, of pondering, of marveling at the wonder of Christ coming into the world. Historically, this is a season designed to help us deepen our devotion to God as we wait not only to celebrate Christ's birth 2,000 years ago, but as we wait for the second coming of Christ. But you know, over the years, so many other things have crept into our society's observance of Christmas, such that what was once unmistakably the focus of this season has now become almost an afterthought for so many. Over the years, Christ is slowly being crowded out of Christmas by our culture's consumerism and by our preoccupation with the exterior trappings of this holiday season. And I wonder, to what degree do you and I get caught up in all of this? And I want you to wonder about that with me. To what degree are the distractions of the season keeping us from pursuing what is most significant in the midst of all of the insignificant? And I don't know how you answer that question. I suppose each one of us has to answer that question for ourselves, but my sense is this. My sense is that it is increasingly becoming easier to miss the mystery, the meaning, and the magnificence of the incarnation in these busy, very distracted, filled days of Christmas season. And it may very well require much more intentionality in our part to keep the reason that we as Christians celebrate Christmas at the center, at the heart of our holiday observance. And I sometimes feel the tug and pull of other things in this Advent season. Do you too? I've been thinking about this in recent days, and I wonder if part of the difficulty for some of us is that we really don't expect much from this season of Advent. So, you know, if I put it in the form of a question, I would say this. Do we approach Advent expecting this to be a season that challenges us spiritually? Do we expect that? Do we see Advent as a wonderful opportunity for growth in our understanding of what Christ has done for us and growth in our devotion to Christ? Are we expecting Christ to come into our lives in a greater way in this season of Advent? And if so, then what are you doing in order to make that a reality? What are you doing in order to give an opportunity for Christ to come into your life in a greater way? Among the many things that you and I have been and will be investing ourselves in this season, how much of our time and energy will be spent in the pursuit of spiritual growth? Your spiritual growth and my spiritual growth this Advent. How intentional are we going to be about this? Or will we find ourselves so preoccupied with with our pursuit of other quests and other things, all good things to be sure, right? All good things, but things that have a way of distracting us, things that have a way of making us busier, keeping us from what's most important, preventing us from meaningful reflection. Or meaningful times of prayer. Or meaningful spiritual conversations within your family, your friends, and with others. There is something about this season. There is something about this season. Advent is oftentimes a time when God chooses to do surprising things in our lives, if we will open our hearts to Him. You never know when our times of reflection and our times of pondering and our times of worship as we wait for Christ's coming could instill in you a fresh awareness of the magnitude of His love for you. You never know when in our times of reflection and prayer and worship as we wait, God could produce within you, draw out from within you, greater devotion to Him. You never know when our celebration of Christ's birth could evoke in us a new direction for service or awaken us to new opportunities to reach out to others in this season. And so my question is, once again, are you preparing your hearts for a new encounter with God in these next few weeks? Are you praying that God will reveal Himself in new and fresh ways in this Christmas season? And are you readying yourself, opening your hearts to Him, and preparing yourself for wherever He might lead you in your reflection and in your pondering and in your hearing His still small voice? Preparation and presents and holiday cheer are all wonderful things. It's really nice. All things that we enjoy and should be enjoying. But what I'm asking is this, or what I'm suggesting is this, what I'm wanting to convey is this: let's not miss out on the opportunities in the next several weeks to experience God and His presence in our lives. Let's not miss out on the opportunity to hear Him speak to us. Let's not miss out on the opportunity to kneel in worship before the manger. This season of Advent and our celebration of Christmas truly could impact you and me in powerful ways if we would allow it. And so I do want to encourage you now in the 3 remaining weeks to not miss out on the 3 remaining weeks to be intentional. I want to encourage you in this remaining time to read, to reflect, to pray, and to be still. And I know that's a challenge, just to be still at one of the busiest times of the year for us. I want to encourage you to allow yourself to be lost in wonder and awe as you consider the meaning and significance of God coming to earth as a baby for your sake and mine. And then I want to encourage you just to lose yourself in worship and in praise with great joy. Not just on Sunday mornings as we sing these wonderful songs, but every day in this remaining time of this Advent season. It struck me this week as I was thinking about this message that many of those who encountered the news of the birth of the baby on that first Christmas responded in just that way. They responded in praise, in worship. They responded in wonder. They responded in awe. There was Mary, of course. Mary was this young girl engaged to be married to a poor carpenter in a no-name town in a country that was under the brutal rule of a hated foreign power who was told by an angel that God was about to do something extraordinary in her. "Do not be afraid, Mary," the angel said. "You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and his kingdom will never end." Now, I'm going to suggest something in a few minutes, but if you were Mary and an angel appeared to you so totally, well, of course, unexpectedly, who would ever expect an appearance of an angel? But if you heard an angel speak these words to you, you would just be dumbfounded, not quite knowing what to make of this. And Mary asks how this can possibly be. And then, after the angel's response, Mary responds by saying, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." But I'm absolutely convinced that Mary did not understand, at least fully. She did not have a full understanding of what the angel was announcing to her. In the days that followed, Mary pondered this news. She reflected on its meaning. And then she visits Elizabeth, and this is in Luke chapter 1. You can look it up this afternoon or just recall it if you're familiar with it. She breaks out into the song of devotion and praise, and she does so with unrestrained joy, and she expresses her worship and her love of God, and she says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." Why would he come to me? I'm just this 12 or 13-year-old little girl, a nobody, and yet somehow I'm told that I'm going to be the favored one. "From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." And then she continues in her song, and she praises God for God's deep concern and sensitivity for the poor, for the downtrodden, the oppressed. And then she goes on to praise God because God is one who is always faithful to his word, always faithful to his promises. And you get this sense that Mary gradually, little step after little step, comes to understand that God was about to provide for the salvation of her people through her unborn son. And yet she had no idea how that would take place yet. But somehow, and her heart is just filled with worship and praise and adoration. And then, of course, there were the shepherds. The shepherds were generally very poor. In fact, the poorest of the poor often. Shepherds were not held in high regard. They were not esteemed in that day. To be a shepherd was someone that was generally looked down upon. And yet, surprisingly, they were the ones whom God invited to be the first public witnesses of his son's birth. And what was their response? Luke tells us that immediately after they had heard this and witnessed this whole scene, this announcement, they left their sheep and they ran to tell others what God had done. Verse 17 says this, "When they seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." Then verse 20, "The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, and they were just as they had been told," which were just as they had been told. The shepherds just couldn't contain themselves. They spread the word everywhere, everywhere, even as they continued to marvel and praise God for the was this a dream or what was this? Wow, what was God announcing? And then, of course, there were the angels who appeared to the shepherds on that dark night. Luke records, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" And then, of course, following that, we would say, we would say the wise men. These magi, these scholars, these astrologers in Persia, they see this unusual object in the sky and they know that something is up. They know that it has some meaning and some significance. They don't know what that is yet. But somehow they're so blown away by what they see. They feel compelled to follow it. And they do so. And they come to find out eventually that there's an ancient text that speaks about being born King of the Jews. And so when they arrive in Bethlehem, we read, "On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and they presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh." Like Mary, like the angels, like the shepherds, the magi respond to the birth of Christ with heartfelt praise and with worship and with deep reverence and with awe and with wonder. And I want to suggest to you that that is an appropriate response for all those who recognize what is truly significant about Christmas. That is the appropriate response. I hope, friends, that those of us who have been raised in the church, I know that's not all of us, but many of us, have never known a time when we didn't hear about the Christmas story. I hope that those of us who are so familiar with the Christmas story never cease to be amazed by it. That we never lose our sense of wonder and awe. The fact that God stepped into human time and space to give his life for us if we find ourselves reading it with such familiarity that there is no amazement any longer, that we're no longer filled with holy wonder. I mean, just imagine this. Almighty God coming to earth as a baby. Just think about this. The creator of the universe making himself helpless and vulnerable, dependent on the nourishment of this very young teenage girl. Imagine God coming to this tiny, dusty planet, virtually unnoticed, save for who? A few shepherds who were the recipients of this amazing announcement. And who were the shepherds? How respected were they in that time? Imagine God coming to this tiny, dusty planet, virtually unnoticed, save for a few shepherds and a group of puzzled wise men following this mysterious object in the sky. Imagine the thought of God in a manger. But then, of course, the wonder doesn't stop there. Imagine God on the cross. Imagine God on a rough-hewn, blood-stained cross in torment and agony. The unquenchable love that drove God to do the unimaginable, that is to say, to become one of us, to live among us, to suffer and die for us, to be forsaken by God, His Father, on that horrible cross so that you and I could be embraced by God and live in an intimate and deeply loving relationship with Him. Does that not fill you with wonder and with awe? Do you want to celebrate Christmas? Then be amazed by it. Be absolutely amazed by it. Allow it to fill your mind and to stretch your heart with awe and reverence and worship and praise. So I'd like to offer a suggestion for you, and here it is. Beginning today, read the story of Jesus' birth in Matthew and Mark, and do so multiple times in this season of waiting. And each time, as you read the story anew, put yourself in a different place in the story. Here's what I mean. For example, imagine that you are God. Well, that's no easy thing, is it? But imagine that you are God. What kind of love would drive you to enter the world in the most humiliating of circumstances? What would go through your heart and your mind as you look down from heaven and you see your beloved son lying in an animal feeding trough, destined to die for the human race that had long ago turned its back on you? What would that be like in the eyes, in the mind, in the heart of God? Linger on that. Don't move too quickly from that as you read the Advent story, the story of Christmas from the perspective of God. So another time you read the story and put yourself in Mary's place. How would you have reacted when the angel suddenly appears with news that you just don't know what to do with? You don't know how to make sense of it. What fears, what apprehensions would you carry as you hold Jesus close? What emotions might go through your heart? Again, take time to think about this. Ponder this as Mary pondered this. The gospel says that Mary pondered these things. She treasured them up in her heart and she pondered them. Imagine yourself as Joseph. Think about how the story unfolds from his perspective, beginning when Mary tells them this wild story about an angel appearing to her and announcing that she's about to conceive a child. Imagine from Joseph's perspective how you receive that news. She's got to be out of her mind. Play this out as you read the account. Imagine yourself as one of the shepherds, or as one of those who heard the shepherd's story, or as one of the wise men. For those of you who are parents, do this with your children at the dinner table or when you tuck your kids in bed at night and together with your children. Wonder what it must have been like for God and the others, what they must have thought, what they must have felt, what we might learn from this, and what we might come to appreciate and see in this in a completely different way. Don't let this season come and go without taking time to reflect and to ponder, without taking time to let the Christmas story, with all of its profound simplicity, how do you like that? Profound and simple together. With all of its profound simplicity and mystery, how do you like that? Simple and mysterious, because it's all of that. Don't let this season come and go without taking time to let this Christmas story speak to you and your children in a very different way. Take time to consider the meaning and the significance of the incarnation and the birth that we celebrate. Wonder at the fact that God loves you such that He sent His Son into the world for you, and that He died for you, and that He rose for you, and that He has called you to faith, and that He has made it possible for you to respond in faith. And that you now rest secure, as you always will, forevermore in His love. The sheer marvel and wonder of it all. This kind of reflection will stir your mind and warm your devotion to God, and your heart will overflow with joy and gratefulness. And friends, you and I will truly have a blessed Advent season. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the challenge and the encouragement from Your Word to us this morning. And now help us to make it a reality in our lives in these days to come as we wait. Amen.